Well, I was thinking this week, you know, I don't know about you, but have you ever wished or ever wished you could experience God working right in your midst, where it was like this powerful, personal, miraculous experience, you know, like the finger of God pointing out of the clouds and like moving things for you and working in that way where you're just like, wow, that was God himself. Or like this audible voice comes out of the clouds and says, I'm God. Here's what I want you to do. Have you ever wished for something like that to happen? And you're just like, man, it's where God is right there in all his glory working so that we can sense him and almost see him, and it just wows us. Have you ever kind of had that? I mean, I know God works and is always working in us and around us and through us. I mean, I've seen the results of God working, you know, in providing for my needs and encouraging and all of that. And as a pastor, you know, I've seen him work in our midst and changing lives and leading us, answering prayers. But all of this kind of been through situations in life. Like, we just kind of see God working kind of as we go. It's more like we see and experience the results of God's working. But to personally and powerfully experience and see God working right before us, that's something else, isn't it? And probably the closest I've been to experiencing that is when we were on our mission trip in Arizona, and we had that thunderstorm coming as we're getting ready to minister to the kids, and God halted that storm so that until after we got done ministering the kids. And that was probably the closest, and that was kind of cool. But I mean, I still dream of like an event of God working in power, kind of like he did in Scripture, you know? Like how God parted the Red Sea, you know, before the Israelites so they could escape the Egyptian army. And you just saw it right there. Or like with Elisha, as he witnessed this whirlwind and Elijah being taken up in a chariot of fire to heaven. And you're just like, whoa, that's God. Or at Pentecost, where the power of the Holy Spirit came upon God's followers all at once. And don't even get me started on the miracles of Jesus, to be able to witness something like that right in your midst, you know, calming the storm or giving sight to the blind or raising the dead in front of a lot of people. And you're just like, wow, this is power. And sometimes I find myself, and I don't know if you find yourself like this, and you read all these things and you're just, why doesn't God work like that in my life? I mean, why don't I have these big movements of God working? And sometimes I think, well, maybe I'm not enough. Or maybe, you know, I'm not doing something right, or I'm missing out. And I long for something like that to happen in my life. I mean, if God were to do something like that in our midst, maybe even here at Joy, you know, show up in all his glory, do a miracle in our midst, or speak from the clouds. I mean, that would be a game changer for us, wouldn't it? Sometimes I pray for that, and I say, man, God, if you would do that, that would be such a game changer. That would put us on the map, and we would explode in growth, and it would be just so, it would be so awesome. But you know, as I think about that, you know, God showing up like this, also, it might not change anything. A work like that doesn't guarantee these amazing results. As I look back at Scripture, I look at the Israelites, and they had the Red Sea parted for them. They had God miraculously supply food and water for them every step of the way. God gave them his personal law on tablets of stone. And you know what? They still fell away from him. Like almost immediately. And it really didn't seem to change a whole lot. You see, God's miraculous work in and among us, it's wasted if our response to it isn't there. If we don't take what God does and is doing and do something about it moving forward. So while God is working, and while God doing these amazing things, it's important. The way we respond is just as important. And that's what I want to talk about today. In fact, this morning, we're in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 2 and just leave it open there, because we'll be looking at it throughout the morning here. And we're continuing to look at these unlikely stars of Christmas. And this morning we find a group that experiences this kind of personal, powerful, miraculous presence of God. And guess what? They respond. And boy, do they respond. And this group we're going to look at today, it wasn't made up of like religious scholars at church. You know, this didn't happen in church. But this group, they also weren't the lowliest of low, the dregs of society or anything like that. Rather, they were regular folk, just like us, regular people. And when God revealed, they responded. So this morning, let's read this story about our third unlikely star of Christmas. We're going to begin in verse 8, so if you want to follow along. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things in her heart, pondering them with her heart. And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." So these shepherds were kind of an unusual lot. Even among shepherds, we may think, well, these shepherds, all right, they're the lowliest dregs of society, kind of the rednecks of the world out there. These shepherds weren't that. And sometimes we like to think that these shepherds are like the lowliest of low. Really, these shepherds were a lot kind of better than that. You see, these shepherds, and we kind of find in this passage, and as we do some research in what the world was like at this time, these shepherds were most likely of the priestly tribe of Israel. So they were in the priestly line. And the sheep that they're tending aren't just like Joe Schmo's sheep that they're kind of hired to tend. These are the sheep that they use for sacrifices in the Jewish sacrificial system. So they have a very important job. So they're basically hired by the temple priest to raise these sheep who are pure and without blemish. And here's how we kind of know some of these things. First of all, we see that these shepherds are out in the fields, out right outside Bethlehem, the hills outside Bethlehem, and they're there at night. Now, during that time, really, it was the law that if you were a shepherd raising sheep, and you're just a normal shepherd raising sheep, you couldn't have them out at night anywhere but out in the wilderness, away from town, away from everything. Okay? And if we know where Bethlehem is, it's just south of Jerusalem, it's kind of the suburbs. So they're in the hills outside of this, but they're kind of still in the suburbs, so they're not out in the middle of nowhere. So they wouldn't be allowed to do that. Now, shepherds that had sheep and they had them out in the fields during the day would take them in at night into the pens. Remember, Jesus gave that parable about, you know, he takes them in the pens and discovers one of the 99 are missing. There's 99, there's one missing. He goes out and looks. Most shepherds would take them in at night, and then they would go home, clean up, and go to work the next day and take the sheep out in the field. Not these guys. They're out at night. Day and night, they're watching over these sheep. Why? Because they're protecting these sheep because they're for the sacrificial system. So to think of these shepherds, they're not necessarily the lowliest of low. Actually, they probably know Scripture. You know, they're related to the priests in the temple in the sense that they're in that line, and they're given a very important job. Yet, they're still pretty... So they're kind of middle class, but they're kind of on the bottom end of that because they're still out there all the time. I kind of picture them as blue-collar workers, you know? They're getting their hands dirty. They're filthy because they're always with the sheep and things like that. But they're not like country bumpkins, okay, if we kind of look at that. So these are guys that are regular people, kind of like us. And they're protecting these sheep to make them pure. So they're somewhere kind of in the middle of where we may think they are. Anyway, they're out in the fields, right? At night, right outside Bethlehem. and the miraculous happens. Like we were, I was just talking about, wouldn't it be cool if something like this happened? Wouldn't it be cool if something like this happened? An angel of the Lord stands before them. And it says the glory of God shone round about. Imagine this, the glory of God, all this light and brightness. So much so, they're in awe, but they're all, it's also a bit terrifying. It says they're afraid, right? They're filled with fear. Then the angel personally shares God's message with them. Tells them this Messiah is born. Gives them this message in great detail. You'll find the sign. Here's the sign. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. That's pretty specific. So God's being pretty specific with them. And in this, he's kind of urging them, you know, you need to go check this out. But before the shepherds can even think about this or process it, it says, and then the angel was joined by a multitude of heavenly hosts. I don't know what a multitude is. But it's probably a lot. Consider hundreds or thousands or whatever of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Okay, so imagine that picture. Imagine this glory and this awe, right? It had to be quite a scene. God had chosen these shepherds to tell about the most important birth in the world's history. And he did it with much fanfare, much glory, right? It was just this amazing event. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, God showing up in a mighty way to work right in the midst of people. That's what I want. I don't know if you ever thought, man, that's what I want too. Why can't something miraculous like this happen to me? Have you ever felt like that? Do you ever long for God, you know, you're just like, God, throw me a bone. Just show me something. You know? Well, what if I told you this morning that this miraculous, this God showing up in a mighty and powerful way, it's already happened for you. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, God has already worked miraculously, just like this, right in your midst, in you, among you and through you. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, we're reminded of this, where Paul talks about it, and he says, you know, once you were dead in your sins, now he has made you alive in Christ. Do you know what he's saying there? You have been raised from the dead. Something miraculous, huh? We just talked about. Wouldn't it be cool to see Jesus raising people from the dead? That's what happens to us when we put our faith in Jesus. And then, of course, we have this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, something we're all familiar with, right? If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Wow! We are a new creation. Only God can create. Do you know that? Only God can make something that's a new creation. Out of nothing. So God personally did this in us. How much more power of God and an experience of God's power can we get than that? Right? So, if that's happened and you have your faith in Jesus and that's happened with you, then the key isn't about God doing something miraculous moving forward or for us, but rather how we respond to what God has already done miraculous in us. You see, unfortunately for many people that come to Christ, they waste it. They say, well, that was nice. I came to faith in Christ. I have my get out of hell free card. I put that in my back pocket. I'm good. And the response is, now at least I'm safe. Let me go about everything else. It's kind of like when you're driving down a highway and you see a police officer, you know, up there and a speed trap and you slow down. You're just like, all right, now let me go slow past them. And then you get about a mile down the road and you're just like, all right, right? Nothing really changed. You just didn't get a speeding ticket. Well, the same would hold true for these shepherds. When they experienced this power of God on the night that Jesus was born, if they failed to respond, but they didn't. They responded. And because of this, they took a starring role in sharing Jesus with their world. So what is it about these shepherds and their response that will help us become a star in sharing Jesus right where we are, with our friends, or at work, or at school tomorrow, or at home? What can we learn from their response to the miraculous that we already say, well, God's already done in us? So how do we respond to this? Well, let's take a closer look real quick. Let's take a closer look at this story and how the shepherds responded. And where we start is right after the angels depart, right? This glory of God happened, and now it's dark again, right? They're back to, and it's quiet. And all this is it, right? And right after this happens, verse 15, look down at verse 15 again. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Basically, they look around and say, hey, you know what? That was really cool. Let's go check it out. And just like that, they're off to Bethlehem to see firsthand the newborn king, this Messiah, Jesus. You see, becoming a star who shares Jesus means responding with simplicity that follows, or that we simply follow. That's what these shepherds do, right? For the shepherds, there's no debate, there's no deliberation, there's no delay. They're not sitting there saying, wow, wasn't that cool? That sounded really neat. You know, let's go see this in a convenient time for us. You know, it's dark right now, and we'd have to find all the sheep and do it. Let's wait till tomorrow morning when it's light, and then we'll go check this out. He's not going anywhere. He's just a baby. He's not going anywhere. Let's go at a time that's more convenient for us. Or they didn't look at each other and said, you know, we're kind of dirty. We're kind of filthy. Let's go get cleaned up and make ourselves a little more presentable. They didn't say that, did they? They just went. Actually, verse 16 says, they went with haste. That's not a person, haste. It means they hurried. So they didn't just say, well, let's just go. And they just kind of moseyed on there. They said, let's go see this thing. Boom. And they were off, right? They dash off to go see them. They couldn't wait to follow what God had told them. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in what God is doing that we fail to respond like this, to simply follow what he says. When God opens a door, to just simply walk through it. Or when God presents a situation or brings somebody into our life that we can share Jesus with, we just don't simply do it. Rather, we fail to respond. You know, and sometimes when God reveals something to us in Scripture, and we're reading Scripture, or we're at church and we hear something, we're like, man, that's awesome. But instead of doing something about it or changing the way we live, we just file it away and say, that's good to know. You ever been there? Or maybe, you know, we say, well, yeah, I know God, you want me to share this with somebody, but let me get a little more presentable first. Or let me work on my knowledge a little bit so I know, have all the answers. Or so I can clean up my own life so that I look a little better when I present Jesus. Have you ever been there? You know what these shepherds did? They said, we're not cleaning ourselves up. We're not delaying. We're not filing anything away. We're just going right as we are. You know why? Because God did the miraculous there. He'll continue to. You see, God's called us to simply follow. Stars in sharing Jesus, simply follow. You know, one day, one of the disciples of Jesus, Philip, you remember all the apostles, and after Jesus went, they became his witnesses, right? Throughout all the earth. And Philip was on his way on the road one day traveling, and he sees this Ethiopian guy sitting by the road. It's an Ethiopian guard, a eunuch, who's sitting by the side of the road, and he's reading a scroll. And Philip decides to stop and see what he's doing. And he notices that he's reading from Old Testament scripture. And here's how this story goes. It's in Acts chapter 8. It says, then Philip, he opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture he's reading, he told the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You know what this is about? Man, this Ethiopian guy, there's just simplicity that follows here, right? He says, what prevents me from getting baptized right now? Okay, I heard the word. I heard the good news. All right, I responded to the good news. And I'm to get baptized. Well, here's water. Why can't I do it right here? You know, how many times do we hear something from God and we say, all right, I'll put this into action tomorrow? You know, it's December 15th right now, and we say, well, yeah, I know I need to make some life changes, but I'm going to wait till January 1st because then that can be my, like, start of the new year and my resolution. So I'll just wait till then. No. This guy says, what prevents me right now? Great question to ask ourselves is that. As we go to work tomorrow, we're at school tomorrow, we're amongst friends, and God's bringing people that need to know and hear about Jesus. What prevents me right now from following Jesus, following God and what he's calling me to do and what he's placed right before me? I can simply follow. Doesn't mean we have to, you know, set up a soapbox in the middle of our office and start banging people over the head with the Bible, but it means that we can look for opportunities to share then, right then and there, and to follow in what God calls us to do. You know, that's star stuff right there. And there's more to the story with these shepherds and how they responded, even than simply following, because when they get there, something else happens. They get to Bethlehem, and they see the Savior, you know, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just to a T how the angel described it. So imagine this. They're like, I think we're at the right place, right? And here's what happens, verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had said. So there's a crowd in here, more than just the shepherds. Remember last year we talked about where this manger probably was. It was probably in a house with a lot of people in this house. So there's other people there, and these shepherds show up, and they start testifying. Here's what God told us. Isn't this amazing? So they tell others what they saw. And so it's these real guys telling an incredible message in a real way. And you know what? People responded. It said when people heard it, they wondered. I mean, Mary treasured these things in her heart, and the other people were like, wow, could this be? And they start to consider it, and they start to be influenced. And it was this real testimony told with great and authentic joy that they made known that teaches us that becoming a star who shares Jesus means also responding with passion that inspires. This is how we're to share, with passion, where it means something to us. When we share Jesus, it's not going and we're looking at it and Jesus loves us and he died for, you know, all mankind and he wants us to have new life in him. That's not how we share Jesus. If this happened, something happened to us and in us, it should change us, right? It should mean something to us. That I once was dead and now I'm alive. I'm a new creation because of Jesus. Not about anything I've done, but because of Jesus. And this is kind of like what the shepherds did, is they're telling passionately, this is what happened to us. We were just standing there. There was nothing else we were doing, what we do every night. And all of a sudden God appeared. And now, look, wow. You know, Jesus kind of talks about this. When he was giving his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, he says to the crowd, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and they put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So as you're going along, as your life looks different, right? That they may see your good works. Your everyday works that now are different and people will see them and it will give glory to God the Father. A light. That's a star of Christmas, right? We can be a star in sharing Jesus because Jesus says we're the light of the world. So we're a light for others to see, and when Jesus makes a difference in us, others will see this and they'll wonder when we're living this out. This is sharing Jesus like a star. And then finally, we see the shepherds now. So now, they've kind of had this experience, and they went, they simply followed, and then when they saw it all, they passionately shared. But then there was something else that happens now when they leave that place. Verse 20, it says, when the shepherds returned, where'd they return? They returned back to their lives. They returned back to the fields and what they were doing and their everyday lives and what But they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen and had been told them. Now, I would imagine that their night, the rest of their night, watching these sheep, keeping watch over the flocks at night, was a whole lot different than it was before the angel came, don't you think? Do you think it was a little different? Yeah. They weren't just sitting here going, let's just go put in our time here, let's go to sleep. No, it says they're glorifying and praising God. They're like, wow, God is amazing. Wow, what does this mean for us? And just even how they watched their flocks at night changed. Actually, I think their week and their month and their year and their lives was a bit different because of this experience. They were forever changed. Praise was oozing out of their pores. All of a sudden, shepherding wasn't just, well, let's just keep watch over the sheep. No, it's protecting sheep, caring for them as God cared for them and gave them this message. Wow, God cares for us, so let's care for everything God gives us because God cares for us. And every day looked different, everyday life. You see, becoming a star that shares Jesus means responding with thankfulness that endures. Our lives should look different. In fact, God's work should leave a lasting impact on our lives. If Jesus has saved you, if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, it should make a lasting impression on your life, to live your life with thanksgiving, not sitting there saying, well, what has God done for me now? You know, I know he's made me a new creation and made me alive, and I was nothing, and now, you know, I'm this. But what has he done for me? No, it's not that. It's, wow, he's done this for me. My whole world has changed. When God shares himself, when he works in us to give us salvation, it should change the way we live. It should change the way we work. It should change the way we relate with our friends and our families. You know, Paul in Colossians says this. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it sink in. Let what Christ did for us sink in. Then he says, teaching and admonishing each other in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They're coming together like this with thanksgiving in our heart. But then as we leave here, as we're inspired here, and as we hear from God, he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, at work or at school, or with your family, or watching the Eagles today, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he's saying our life should look different. You know, God appearing through the angels to the shepherd changed everything for them. And God appearing in us, giving salvation through Jesus, should change everything in us. It's not about us anymore, or our goodness, or our worth. It's all about who God says we are. We're his. He loves us beyond measure. We are his children, his sons. We have access to him. At any time, he cares for us, and he extends it freely, not only to us, but all that come, all of those that come to him through faith, that they may find salvation. So as we go to work tomorrow or school tomorrow or watch the Eagles today, think about that. How does my salvation, how does God appearing in my life and changing me change the way I watch the Eagles today? Maybe I boo a little less because I'm just like, you know, but God saved me. I know that's a lot to ask for Eagles fans. You know? But maybe at school tomorrow, it changes the way you're at school. And instead of saying, ugh, I got to do this, we can say, I get to do this. Wow, God, look at all these people that need to know about you and need to see your love. How can I show this to people at school tomorrow or at work this week or with our kids? You see, it should look different. You see, the night of Jesus' birth, God, he appeared in glory to the shepherds, right? And it was awesome. And while we may long for something like this, God miraculously appearing to us, we also need to realize that in trusting Jesus, he already has. And just like the shepherds, we can respond to his work in and through us rather than waste it. You see, we can simply follow. We can passionately share and be thankful always. And in this way, though, we share Jesus right where we are. We point to him right where we are. And like the shepherds, we too can be unlikely stars of Christmas, but and beyond, as God places people in our paths, and he has us right where we are in this time and place for a reason. And that's to respond to what he's done in and through us. So that's our star this week. These shepherds who saw the miraculously, but most important, they responded. Just as we can respond. And when we respond like stars. Let's pray.